Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station where we help those with ADHD pay attention to attention, with your host, ADHD and attention coach, Jeff Topper.
I'm wondering, was that the perfect introduction or the okay introduction? Anyway, I'm your host, ADHD and attention coach, Jeff Copper, and our topic tonight, ADHD and perfectionism, point, counterpoint. And with us in our virtual studio is Caroline McGuire, she's sometimes a guest, sometimes a co-host, sometimes a guest host. Really, just let's call her my sidekick. We got a great topic for you today. I'm thinking about Toy Story. What was the thing with? Never mind. I shouldn't go there. Anyway,
you got a friend
back on,
in me.
There you go. Real quickly, everybody. It's February the 1st, in the year 2017, at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Again, Caroline McGuire is in our virtual studio. A few announcements. Women with ADHD and men who know women with ADHD, you got to take part in ADHD Palooza. That's spelled ADHD Palooza. That's being put on by Linda Rogley and Terry Matlin. It starts February the 6th in 6 short days. It's an online webinar, teleconference, shindig. They've got 35 experts presenting all kinds of things on ADHD with a slightly different bend on women, because ADHD does manifest different between men and women. I'm thrilled and I'm honored to be invited for the second year to present. And Caroline, you're participating too this year. You got a presentation, right?
I do. Mine is about women and social skills and why does no one like me? It's a great time and there's really good information and speakers.
It's really good.
I'm really impressed.
That's spectacular. I'm going to talk about if your working memory is actually working or not. Maybe it's working or maybe it's really, really working. We don't necessarily know. You'll have to tune into that. So check it out by going to ADHDpalooza.com. Also, Dr. Barkley always encourages me to promote ADHD. I lost my notes. Oh, yes, it's ADHDfund.com, which is a crowdsourcing website to raise money for small-scale research for ADHD worldwide. That's our announcements for tonight. So let's get into the fun of the show. This is ADHD and perfectionism, point, counterpoint. We've done this before, these point counterpoints. This is the first time we're doing it with Caroline, which is kind of fun. Our purpose in point counterpoint is to pay attention to something from different perspectives, almost to argue it. Our goal is not to be right, but to make you think, and to illustrate how it's really about paying attention to attention and how you do that. Real quickly, Caroline is a personal coach for children with ADHD and their families. As an aside, she has ADHD, her husband has ADHD, her kids have ADHD, so she pretty much lives it every day. You can't get much more of an expert when you live it in a professional. She's got a revolutionary new coaching program that teaches executive functioning skills to children, teens, and young adults. She's a speaker at worldwide venues. She's a former coach at the Hollowell Center in Sudbury, Massachusetts. We actually had Ned on a couple times talking about some of the programs that she's doing. When she was working with Ned, she was the main coach for children and teenagers at a co-led social skills group and consulted with local schools. You can learn more about her at necoaching.com. That stands for NE New England, coaching.com, not to be confused with the New England Patriots. So, Caroline, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. And you mentioned the Patriots, and it is true. I am embedded not only professionally working with everybody who ever forgot their planner and left everything in their locker, but then I live it at home. So it's all around me.
Yeah, I can't remember the show. God, I wish I could remember. I think it was a blooper show where you were traipsing across campus in your onesie pajamas to turn in a paper with your galoshes, where you met your now his husband at that point in time, which is just a classic ADHD story. no shame, no embarrassment. Hey, listen, I got a date out of the whole thing. So that being said, Caroline. Let's start. When you pay attention to perfection, what is perfection to you?
So It's interesting because I was always under the impression that perfection was about, you know, dotting every I and crossing every T. But I read a study that really spoke to perfection. The study is by our friend, Dr. Russ Ramsey, and colleagues of his. And it talks about perfection as being waiting for the perfect mood. And you see, how you end up running across campus in your nightgown, your galoshes, and your raincoat being late with a paper is that you wait for this perfect mood. And when I read this study, I said, that is it. I always wait. And a lot of my clients wait for the right mood to strike. And for that mood to facilitate, really, I think, igniting the brain. I think perfectionism can be many things, but this is a huge thing. And I could talk about it more in this perfect readiness that this study talks about.
So this bolt of lightning flies out of the sky and just slams into you, and all of a sudden you're in the perfect mood, and it all comes out like endlessly, and you're done?
Well, that would be lovely. For me, I have to have something that really strikes me, or I run on the treadmill and I listen to Rocky, and this brings me into the mood. But you know, I'll tell you an example, Jeff, a personal example. Went to the CHAD conference this fall, had a great experience, gave my speech, made a video, did all these things, talked to all these mothers, and I was completely ignited, meaning my brain was, instead of the under-aroused brain we often have, my brain was aroused. And I was on. I wrote like 7 blog posts on the plane, attention talk, radio kits. You know, I was on. And versus other times when, like, you know, I couldn't write 2 sentences. And I think that's what my clients are talking about, is that they're waiting for that moment. And that's what I think perfectionism is. It's this waiting for this. It's an ADHD perfectionism. I don't think that the rest of the world would know exactly what I'm talking about.
Well, it's fascinating to me because we had talked a little bit about before this, and we're actually, two worlds are supposed to be in opposites. We're actually kind of coming together, I think, because for me, often people will say there's this perfectionism. And to me, I think the definition is without blemish. It's this thing that there's, you cannot improve on it anyway, and everybody sees the same thing. But to me, and don't get me wrong, that there is that's a subset of perfectionism, and it's absolutely there. But I find those with ADHD often struggle. Perfectionism is coming up with the right way to pay attention to something. And I'm going to tease you guys here for a second because I want to pause. Tonight's show is being brought to you by CHAD. So I'm going to slip in a little tip from them. And we're going to come back and I'm going to talk to you about what I'm talking about paying attention to things the right way. So with that, we're going to roll their little tip and we'll be right back.
Are you considering a medication holiday for your child? Possible benefits include time for a growth spurt unaffected by medication and relief from side effects. Be sure to weigh the benefits and the drawbacks because ADHD symptoms will return. And always discuss any changes with your child's health care provider first. For more information, visit the CHAD website, helpforadhd.org, HELP, the number 4, ADHD.org.
All right. Thank you, Chad, for your support and for bringing this show to our listeners out there. Before the tip, I was talking about attention. You know, Caroline, this last 7 days, I've been struggling for the longest time to talk about learning modalities because I think they're really, really important. And everybody, we all learn visually, auditorily, kinesthetically, which everybody, that means moving, tactilely, which is where you feel touch and texture, socially. There's a gazillion of these types of things. And you're not really good at one or another. It's just really kind of your style. And I've learned over the years that we all have a dominant way, like a more efficient way of learning. And Caroline, I've always wanted to be able to articulate this to people because I say the words and they're just not receiving. They're not getting what I'm saying. And I have been searching for forever how to language this in such a way that everybody gets what I'm talking about. And I've been labeled a perfectionist when it comes to this stuff, but I'm just, it's not perfect. It's just, how can I articulate this in a way that everybody gets it? And sometimes, by the way, the perfectionist and the articulation is not necessarily really about them. It's about me. And I came up with this metaphor is by saying, you know, we all have genetic traits that we have that dictate our learning modalities. And I came up with this way of articulating. It's like clothes. The clothes that you wear, Caroline, or I wear, or anybody wear, is a function of your sex, your height, your weight, your geographic location, and a little bit of style. And I can go on for days with other particular traits. But when you take a look at that eclectic description that I just described, what person wear becomes very, very different and very, very, very diverse. And I've used that now in the last week with educators about learning modalities, and they're getting these ahas. And it's funny because literally it's taken me 4 or 5 years to come up with the way to describe that in such a way that people that I think get what I'm talking about. So it's funny because is that perfectionism, or my argument is I'm just trying to find the right way of paying attention to it. I've been waiting for this bolt of lightning to come out of the sky where I'm in the right mood, and all of a sudden this stream of consciousness flows. So I'm interested in your reaction to that, what I said, and also in the context of what you're talking about.
Here's what I think that's interesting about that. I think this does all play into my argument about perfect readiness and the ideal state. And here's why. Learning modalities are just another way to unlock your brain and allow you to learn more effectively, learn deeper, and in our case, sometimes engage with learning when it's really, really boring. So you're jumping on the trampoline, you're shooting hockey pucks, whatever it is you need to do in order to learn and engage these modalities. It's a gateway. It arouses your brain and it brings you to this ideal state. I think that's the link.
Well, see, it's interesting because I can appreciate aligning the stars so the environment is conducive for that creativity. But the thing to me is I can't control that thought that I'm looking to come to me and hit me from outer space, from literally nowhere, that all of a sudden gives me that yurka. So I can cultivate the environment, but I have no idea how long it's going to take for that hit where it all makes some sense.
Well, that's the problem, right? That's the problem with waiting for the perfect state. And I'll tell you a story. So I read this study to do with writing the materials for this family program that I have at the ADD Coach Academy. And I sometimes I'll read 4 or 5 books in a weekend. And I read this study and I had this eureka where I said, wow, this is partly, you know, I do a lot of social skills. What is happening with kids with ADHD and social is that they're waiting, because a girl had just that day told me that spending the entire session planning for a play date, she was going to wait for like the ideal state to approach anyone because she was wanting to make sure what she said was perfect. And after I had this eureka, I went back to like every social skills client, every client that week, and I asked them questions. And I basically just said, is this about you want the words to be perfect? Is this about this ideal state? I asked them a bunch of questions. And every one of them said, no, I'm waiting for this eureka moment where I feel, you know, everything in alignment and I'm in this ideal state. And then, you know, I'll be social, or then I'll, you know, ask the girl out or whatever. And I said, but here's the thing, that might not happen before your deadline. and a boy said to me, I know, that's why I'm always late. that's the problem. I agree, you can't manufacture it all the time.
I'm gonna come back, I'm gonna tell a story. One of the biggest ahas I've had in the last 7 years of kind of coaching. And I'm gonna talk about the environment that I facilitated and how it kind of came along. But before we go to break real quick, everybody learn more about Caroline McGuire. Go to NewEnglandPatriots.com. I mean, I'm sorry, New England NECoaching.com. Go Falcons, by the way. Everybody, if you're listening from this overseas or whatever, the Super Bowl is coming up on Sunday, and it's the New England Patriots, which is where she lives. And I'm in the Southeast, kind of near where the Falcons are. So that's what that's all about. But anyway, go to NECoaching.com. If you're curious about me, I've been doing this for a long time. You can check me out at DigCoaching.com. And with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an Edge Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function challenge make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more or call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE to get your free college success guide.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Managing ADHD is about pausing before you ponder and proceed. This opportunity to practice pausing is being brought to you by digcoaching.com. The Attention Talk Network has over 450 interviews and more than 210 hours of programming, which is overwhelming if you think about it. That's why I've made my list top 10 favorite Attention Talk radio interviews. Download the list at www.digcoaching.com/ATR.
And now back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We're here with Caroline McGuire talking about ADHD and perfectionism. Often those with ADHD are accused of being perfectionists, and I think sometimes it's being perceived as everything has to have no blemish, it all has to be perfect, and I think that's piece of it. But to my surprise, Caroline and I are talking about some similar areas, but I think there's some slight differences. One is creating the environment for this brilliant idea to come to you. And the other one is the actual idea coming to you. And I'm a big fan of facilitating the environment, but even though you plan on the stars are aligned, it doesn't necessarily mean it comes. To me, it's this trial and error process that you do to discover something new. And Caroline, I have this personal story of mine. Over the years, I've been focused on attention for the longest period of time. And I know that I talk out loud, and I've called my brother, everybody I know, my son, my ex-wife, my mother, my brother, my friends and all this stuff. And I was talking about it one time, and literally one time I'm actually driving carpool to school, and I'm on the phone talking to my mother. I'm like, I got to talk out loud. I feel like I'm close, and I'm like rambling because I'm in that mood. I'm like, I'm processing. There's something. I want to give birth to something here. And all of a sudden, I'm like, why is it that music is the universal language? I mean, I said that out loud, and my mother's just sitting there kind of quiet. And I'm sitting there. I'm just like, why is that? Why is that? And again, I'm in the mood. I've created this that I think you're talking about. But still, I mean, I've created this mood a gazillion times, and nothing's happened. Then all of a sudden, out of friggin' nowhere, it hits me. It's because when you listen to a note of music, whether it's a C note on a guitar or a piano or whatever, it's an experience. We all experience this. By the way, this is the world of Carton and Jeff. I'm not saying this is right, but this is my little aha. And I realized at that point in time is that when you describe something or you language something, you interpret it, and it gets all kind of muddled down. But the thing that we all hear is this C note, if you will, or D note or whatever it is. And it's a universal experience, and that's why it's a universal language. And then I began to realize is that from an attention perspective, if you're going to talk about it, you've got to put somebody into the experience, and they have to witness the process of it, not necessarily talk about it. And I was like, it changed everything for me on Attention Talk Radio, Attention Talk Video, my coaching practice. And it was weird because when that happened, it was this huge relief, and there's – I haven't crossed I's or dot T's. I mean, there's some sloppiness in the wake because I finally like, that's it. It was the center of it all. And so for me, there was that difference because I had been creating that environment, the mood, the quest for forever, but I couldn't control that idea. And it finally hit for me. And some would argue, you know, Jeff, I was fighting with everybody because they're like, you know, you're not getting this. And I'm like, no, you're not. And then it hit me and it kind of came together. And in that moment, I didn't feel like I was a perfectionist, although everybody had been calling me that. It wasn't till it clicked. So there's this distinction about the creating the environment or the mood, but then there's this randomness of the idea. Thoughts on the story?
Okay. So I understand what you're saying. And I do agree with you to some extent. Here's, I think, the slight difference is that while we wait for that ideal state, we sort of end up in this procrastination cycle, right? It's the quest.
Yeah.
I mean, that you use that word, and that quest is like a great word. And I think part of this perfectionism, when you talk to people and you ask, and I'm so sure that there are people listening, you know, practically driving off the road because they're like, yes, yes. Part of the issue is that we know that in the ideal state, we produce things that no one else can produce. I mean, literally no one else. I mean, Winston Churchill, all these great people, you know, they produce things that no one else can produce in this sort of ideal state. And I think that that's the problem. Once you've had it, you don't want anything else because you know that the other state is this like slog. and I think that we're waiting, we're on this quest, but to your point, it's not really necessarily A, efficient, and B, it's sort of, well, in a way, though, actually, Jeff, I think it's like music. It is the universal language of our life, is this quest for this state. I mean, that, I would argue that probably, I mean, you'll get deluged with emails now. People, like, I would love to hear if people agree that they are waiting for that.
Well, it's that clarity, that way of looking at it, that all, you know, you can – and I'm going to kind of digress for a second because it's the way you pay attention to it. To me, that's everything. Like it was, people have heard me talk about Russell Barkley for forever on the show. Cause after I had that several interviews with him, self-regulation, simplified distractibility, self-regulation, impulsivity, self-regulation, like everything I begin to listen to, time management, it all boils down to this one word, self-regulation. All of a sudden I'm like, Eureka, that's perfect. That's that one inch that can describe everything about it. Cause I've listened for years about people like all these superlatives, like, no, it's simple. It's just about self-regulation. And when it comes together, it really, really kind of clicks. And I think that you spin around in that for a while. At the same time, one of the things that we've done on Attention Talk Radio is we like to pay attention to attention because everybody looks at it differently. And it's kind of funny because I've coached people before where I've said like, oh, well, that's a paradigm. They go, no, it's not. It's a mind shift or context or interpretation. And it was kind of funny because as an aside, Caroline, years ago when I was like 10 years ago, when I was the coach training, I looked up thought, word, idea, presentation. It was interesting to me how all those definitions of all those words use the other words. I'm like, this is all the same thing, just a different, slightly different bend on it. And it's fascinating to me because when you take a look at something like mindset or paradigm or context, I listen at the global level. I think it's really all the same thing, but people look at it differently. And I've literally coached some people before and said, oh, that's a paradigm shift. No, it's not. It's a mindset. And they would argue. I'm like, as a coach, you go with their wording, but at the end of the day, you're going like, well, I think we're really talking about the same thing here. And the reason I'm bringing this up and harping on it is I think those with ADD get lost in perspective sometimes. It's like, they're going to sit down and they're going to do a website or they're going to respond to somebody. And I go back to that simple thing. Is a glass half full? Is it half empty? Or is it half a glass of water? It's the same glass. But on any given day, if they get up and they write about that glass of water, they might write it from those three different perspectives and it changes. And they're like, what's the perspective that everybody's going to agree with? And nobody does. And so they spin around in circles, not realizing is that it's a perspective and they're not going to make everybody happy. I mean, I've never seen everybody agree that the color of the drapes were the right color. There's always somebody that's not there and they get lost in that. What are your thoughts on that? Because if it is perspective based and how you're seeing it, you can always look at it a different way and write it a different way and never get to where you're going. Thoughts?
Okay, so here's my thought. It's very like concrete and simple. If yep. you're listening and you're waiting for this perfect state and you're on that quest, it's just not necessarily a great way to operate because it's such a state of mind and it's such an individual, it's an individual perspective, right, on what this is. But the fact is that in the end, it always comes down to whether it's that you're dotting your I's and crossing your T's, whether it's that you're waiting for the ideal state, you're still waiting and procrastinating, and you're waiting for this thing to happen that may not come because it doesn't always come, and then you don't get your work done.
Yeah, so you just said something. You said state of mind. There's an infinite number of states of mind to look at something, and you can explore all million of them and never find one that everybody agrees with.
Right.
And you're going to drive yourself crazy to an extent because not everybody's always going to look at it in the right state of mind, which is something you kind of can't control. So I want you to bake on that. I'm going to come back to that comment here in a second. Everybody, we're going to go to break. Go to New England Patriots. I mean, see newnecoaching.com to check out Carolyn McGuire. To learn more about me, go to digcoaching.com. And with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You can't go off to college with them, but we can. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more how an EDGE coach can help your student reach their full potential. You can also call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE and get a free college success guide.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
The Attention Talk Network has over 450 interviews and more than 210 hours of programming, which is overwhelming if you think about it. That's why I've made my list top 10 favorite Attention Talk radio interviews. Download the list at www.digcoaching.com/ATR.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back. We're here with Caroline McGuire. We're talking about perfectionism, ADHD, and the craziness of it all. Before the break, Caroline said something really important, state of mind. Perspective, how you see some stuff, it's kind of infinite. You can get lost in that for a little bit. Caroline, I think that's one of the things that people are looking for, the perfect way to articulate or see something, but then they get lost because there's no perfect one way of looking at some stuff, and they explore them all, and they spin around in circles, and they never actually get a product out. Thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the I don't want to say sad, but that's the hard part about this is that the spinning, the sort of, you know, rethinking if it's your version of perfectionism or what I consider the sort of, you know, original definition of perfectionism or the ideal state, the ultimate result is a spinning and really not what we call in coaching serving yourself, because you're not ultimately producing and that, you know, gets in your way and then people are mad at you. So, and you know, you don't get to, you know, if it's, you know, asking someone for a date or, you know, going on a play date, yep. if you're a little kid, you don't get to have those things because you're waiting, 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 spinning, spinning, spinning.
Yep. To me, the manifestation of perfectionism is the endless shift of paying attention to it from a different way and never being able to say this is the one that will work for everybody, because it's a quest you can't do, because everybody looks at things a little bit differently, which is why this is such a perfect show for Attention Talk Radio, because we're trying to pay attention to attention. And there's another realm here that I just want to touch base on. I think that this perfectionism comes into play to a certain extent in organizing. And the way I want to describe this is that let's say that you're trying to set up an organizational system, and you're going to pay attention to it by saying, okay, I want everything kind of done categorically. So I'm going to have a file for my taxes. I'm going to have a file for my utility bills. I'm going to have a file for the car, and I'm going to have a file for insurance claims and or health insurance claims, et cetera. So you've got these things by category. But then if you have health claims to a level, your health claim file you might need some of the stuff from that in the tax file. Now, the question is are health claims a part of the tax file at that point in time, or are they separate, or do you photocopy it in both places, in which case you have what I call a version control, because if one changes, you got to update the other two, and you have to remember to do that stuff. And as you look at the system that you do, one day you'll wake up and say, I'm a categorical thinker, I need a separate file for the two. And other days you're a functional thinker and you think, well, I need the health insurance claims for the deduction in the tax file. And they any given day they wake up and what they're paying attention to as nirvana switches back and forth and back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And so as a result, again, they're paying attention to the organizational system differently. And they keep trying to rectify it, not realizing is that you got to pick one. There's advantage to both, and there's a problem to both. The advantage to have them categorically is like I can think of it there. If you copy it in both places, you got to remember if I make an adjustment one place, I got to photocopy it and update the other one, which is a thinking process, and it's effortful. And that creates a little bit of perfectionism because there's no – any system that you pick, there's going to be problems. My point is pick your problems, but they don't necessarily think about that, which goes back to how you pay attention to it. So, again, I'm illuminating this because in the area of organization, sometimes they're perfectionists because they're looking for that perfect system and one doesn't exist. There's always positives and there's always negatives. What are your thoughts on that?
Okay, so I have lots of thoughts. First off, I'd like to share that I will never in my life set up a system that is that good. So you can come set up my systems because you've really thought these things through. I don't even use Quicken. I use a yellow pad to pay my bills. So my husband's probably listening to dying. Secondly, I would like to say that one thing I always talk to my clients about is not making a choice. And usually this does fall under when we're talking about perfectionism is a choice, right? Mm-hmm. So the extreme example that I always give is, if you're in a restaurant and you can't choose chicken parm or veal parm, you don't eat. So obviously you're hungry, you eventually choose something, right? Like our hunger drives us to choose something. But when it comes to, you know, which website should I use? What, you know, what organization system, which car, all that stuff, it's what my nana would have called dithering, and I don't say that pejoratively, but she meant going back and forth. That creates a choice. It is a choice because just like chicken parm or veal parm, you're going to go without. You've made a choice by not making a choice. And I think when people think of it that way, you know, looking at there is no ideal for your organization system example. There's always a backdraft.
Yep.
But you are making a choice. And I think that that's the element that people don't really think about, which is that, you know, you don't have the date because you didn't ask the girl, right? You don't have a play date this weekend. So you did ultimately end up making a choice. You couldn't choose door A. I think of game shows, right? You couldn't choose door A or door B, but there is a door C, which is like no choice. So,
yep.
That's my reaction to that is that I think a way to reframe and sort of have benefit from this is whatever the system, to understand you are going to end up having to make a choice, because door C is still, you know, you've chosen. It's just you haven't chosen necessarily what you wanted.
You know, Caroline, I really liked what you described, because at the end of the day, I have a little aha right now. My point of bringing this up is perfectionism is not always just about without blemish. It's an attention-based thing, and sometimes you're never going to solve the problem when it comes to attention. But that's also a decision issue, is that at some point in time, you got to pick the best of the worst, and you got to go with it. And I'm saying that because sometimes there's not a perfect way of looking at it that everybody's going to get, but you get stuck if you don't actually make a decision. And the way you described it, if you don't make a decision, that's a decision. I love the food analogy, because you, chicken parm, veal parm, or you're going hungry, but the hunger is driving it. So you'd probably do something. But in everyday life, at some point in time, you got to pay attention and say, listen, I'm going to pick the best of the worst, because it's about activating. Because often that looking at things differently, they get lost in it, and they'll spin around for forever, and they're stuck in their head thinking, they never really activate. So I've described that because I do think that I feel like we boiled down, it's an attention-based issue and a decision-based issue. Does that make sense to you? I mean, have we distilled this, or is there something else I'm missing?
No, I think we have distilled this. And I think that if you're listening in your car, or you're in your kitchen and you're screaming at the radio that this resonates with you, I mean, if you pay attention, and I'm quoting you back to you, if you pay attention to whether it's perfectionism in the traditional sense, or waiting for an ideal state, or going round and round, either way, it, you know, paying attention to and witnessing what you're doing can be the way forward, because, you know, that will really, I think, help. And I do feel, my last plug for the ideal state as perfectionism, the ADHD thing, is that I do feel that when people hear that, it's a huge aha for them, because I think a lot of people have never heard that. And then they hear it and they say, oh God, that's my problem.
Well, and so for me, I replicate the ideal state, but to me, at what point in time is that thought, that unassociated thought that didn't have an association with anything, all of a sudden come flying out of the sky and hit me? I think what you're describing facilitates what I'm describing, but at some point in time, I can't control that. As Ned Hollowell said, if you want to have an insight, it's not like you're at 10 o'clock tomorrow, I'm going to give birth to this amazing idea. It just doesn't happen that way. So I like the idea of focusing on creating the environment for you to have that aha, but at the end of the day, we get lost in perspective at some point in time. And sometimes you just got to pick the best of the worst and move forward, because if you don't implement anything, you can't learn anything from it. So with that, Caroline, this has been a great show. I'm really glad to have you on. This was a lot of fun.
This was a lot of fun. And I hope people got something out of it. No, I do. I hope people got something out of it.
Well, I hope something. And what everybody should actually understand, as I was listening today, is that, you know, only 23% of everybody think the Patriots are going to win the Super Bowl. 53% are for the Falcons. So I think I'm paying attention to what everybody's paying attention to, and I'm going to bet for the Patriots, because I think the money's going to be on the Falcons. And it's so while I like the Falcons, I think the Patriots is where the money is. So there you have it. All right.
You're hysterical. That's funny. Okay.
It's all a function of attention. So anyway, to learn more about Caroline McGuire, go to anycoaching.com, and I'm at digcoaching.com. And Caroline, thanks for coming on the show.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
All right, everybody. Catch us next week for another great edition of Attention Talk Radio. Take care.